But we're using this new season to explore a few texts, four texts, in fact, that all contain these words: do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Don't fall for it, is the way we're heading it. And there are four New Testament passages that contain this very phrase, because the Bible teaches us it's possible to deceive others, to be deceived, and even to deceive ourselves. So we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to fall for Satan's lies. And so notice another of these passages with me this morning that says, do not be deceived. The old story is told about a farmer who was trying to get rid of some pesky crows. So he got his shotgun out and he was going to fire at them. Well, he didn't know that his sociable parrot had mingled among the crows when he fired his shotgun. And when he went to see what damage was done, he saw his parrot badly ruffled with a broken wing. And when he brought the injured parrot back to the house, his children asked, "Dad, what happened? What happened?" And the farmer replied, "Bad company. Bad company." 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Do not be deceived," Paul says. "Bad company corrupts good character." Perhaps you memorized it as I have: evil companionships corrupt good morals. Companionships, communications, that has to do with associations. And Paul is stressing to the Christians at Corinth and stressing to us, don't be deceived into thinking that evil companionships won't affect you. Evil companionships, bad company, will corrupt good morals, good manners, good character. So the age-old advice is so wise: be careful the company you keep. Be careful the company you keep. In fact, the company we keep tells us a lot. And let me remind us of a few of those things. The company we keep says a lot about you, because the people with whom we associate most often are those who resemble us: our likes, our dislikes, our values, our moral principles. So in most cases, those with whom we associate think like us, speak like us, and act like us. So the company we keep tells us a lot about ourselves. Number two, though, the company you keep says a lot about you, which may not even be true. Because perhaps we started thinking about some of the friends, the associations we have, and say, well, I don't think like them. I don't speak like them. And we may think we're different, and we may not believe that we resemble the company that we keep. However, any outsider who sees you with them will conclude otherwise. They'll assume that you think and act and speak like those with whom you surround yourself. But here is the real issue at hand. The company you keep influences you more than you know or will ever admit. Dennis Rainey made this statement: "Outside the guidance we continue to have at home, nothing will influence our children as much as the choice of their friends. Nothing will influence our children as much as the choice of their friends." It is so important. Children, that's why our parents are so concerned about with whom we associate, because our friends, our companions, have an impact on us. The opposite is true. The opposite of negative influences impacting you negatively, the opposite of that is also true, that good companions, good associations, will impact you in a positive way. Dennis Rainey taught a sixth grade Sunday school class, and this is something that he would often do with his class. The first meeting of that class — the class lasted 9 months — the first meeting, he would bring in three apples. And one was just a ripe, good-looking apple, a good apple. And the other two looked good, except each of them had a bruise or two. And he would say, these two apples with bruises represent friends that you have that with whom you should not associate. And we're going to do a little experiment, he told them. And he put all three of these apples in the same bag. He said, we're going to put these in the closet for the remainder of our class. And it's going to illustrate that one bad apple can spoil the whole barrel. And he left those three apples in that bag for the length of the class. And did you notice that I said it was nine months long? And at the last class meeting, he began with this passage, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil companionships corrupt good morals, or bad company corrupts good character. And he'd read that passage, and he would get a volunteer to go into that closet and get out that plastic bag that had been in a brown paper bag to demonstrate what had happened. And you can imagine, I didn't find a picture to display for you, but you can imagine the horrible mess that all three of those apples had lost their what they're supposed to look like. And it was a soupy mess, discolored, mushy apple soup is the idea. And I'm sure the point was well made. And it demonstrated how bad company can corrupt and even consume the best young Christian. You see, our companionships, or evil companionships, bad company, does in fact corrupt us, whether we want to admit it or not. But notice number four, the company we keep influences others. It influences others. If the Christian light is frequently being found in dark places, what does that say about those who are in those dark places? Of course, we're using symbolism here, but if a Christian hangs out in places where he or she shouldn't, what is that saying to those who are found in those places? Unfortunately, some may say, well, if this Christian young man or this Christian young lady can maintain her Christianity while being in this location, then certainly I can too. And so it could influence others to remain in the darkness. But also, if the Christian light is frequently found in dark places, what does that say to those who are in the light? What does that say to other Christians who may see some of their brothers and sisters in Christ in places, dark places? That maybe it'd be okay for me. You might even cause them to stumble, to sin, as the scripture warns against. The company we keep influences others. And finally, the company we keep will heavily impact our eternal destiny. Who we're hanging out with on this earth will heavily impact our eternal destiny. Keeping bad company, notice this, can influence the way that we think. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed, not conformed. But folks, if we're spending our time, if our closest friends are those that don't think like God's word instructs us to think, it can impact our thinking. It can cause us, just by that association, to begin to think that way. And it impacts the way we think, and we find ourselves becoming more and more conformed instead of transformed as God wants us to be. Keeping bad company influences the way that we think. It can dull our ability to discern right and wrong. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And speaking of spiritual maturity and those who are mature, those who have studied the Word and allowed the Word to influence their thinking, that we're able to discern right from wrong. But if our associations are not with those who use this as their standard, then it affects the way that we think, but also the way that we think about what's right and what's wrong. We begin to think things like, well, it's not that bad. Well, it won't hurt me. And so our ability to discern right and wrong is dulled because of the bad company that we keep. And thirdly, keeping bad company can impact our behavior. And here's an example from Proverbs. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Make no friends with a hot-tempered man. Don't associate with one easily angered. Why not? The proverb says, because we'll learn that way. We'll learn to react in that way, that hot-tempered way, and get ourselves in trouble. Keeping bad company can impact our behavior in a negative way. But sometimes that negative influence isn't so obvious. Sometimes it's very, very subtle. What are some signs that we're being influenced negatively? Let me share a few of those with you. If we consistently feel heavy-hearted, agitated, or depressed after spending time with someone, that's an indication we're being negatively influenced. If we're violating areas of conviction, if we've been convicted about this is right or wrong in the past, but now those lines of conviction are being erased or smudged, then we're being negatively influenced. If we're making questionable decisions that were never options before, if our thinking has changed about this is right or this is wrong and maybe it's not so bad, it reveals negative influences. If we're more lax regarding areas of weakness, if there have been times when we would said, I know I should not go to this place or to that place or hang around in this setting because I know I'll be tempted to sin. But then those convictions are being eroded. It reveals negative influences. If we're rationalizing our behavior or our thoughts that we previously avoided, it's another indication. It can be so subtle, these negative influences, but they can impact us. But then the objection is brought out, well, what about Jesus? Didn't Jesus hang out with people who were sinners? And look at Mark chapter 2 as one of those passages that speaks of such. Mark 2 verse 15. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi or Matthew's house, the tax collector that he called to be his disciple, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with the tax collectors and sinners? And the objection is he shouldn't be hanging around those kind of people. And there's some would say, see, it's good for us to hang out with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus did. But we need to keep reading. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yes, Jesus did eat with tax collectors and sinners. But folks, he didn't hang out in the sense of getting together for fun and enjoying sin together. It was a redemptive relationship. Jesus didn't condone, tolerate, or participate in their sins. In fact, he associated with them in order to bring them out of their sin, not to participate in it. He went to sinners because he came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So don't misinterpret what Jesus did. He went to sinners in order to save them from that sin. Cecil May recently wrote an article in Preacher Talk, and here's a quote from that article. "Isolation is not the answer," referring to our association with sinners or those outside of Christ. "Isolation is not the answer. We'll never convert anyone with whom we have no association. That is why Jesus, to the chagrin of the Pharisees, associated with sinners. Our aim should always be to convert." Our aim should always be to convert. So yes, we must associate with those who are not Christians in order to lead them to Christ. But here's what it boils down to. There's a question that we must continually ask. And that is, who is influencing whom? Who is influencing whom? I need to ask myself, who's influencing me? And is that person or that group of people helping me draw closer to God? Or am I falling away from God by the company that I keep? I don't remember if I saw this or if I heard some of you tell me about a physical demonstration that W.T. Allison did to illustrate this principle. 6'5", W.T. Allison, big frame. He called a little child, as I'm told, up, and he at first stood in a chair and asked the little child, "Pull me down out of this chair." And in comparison, that child was very small compared to W.T. But with that force, that child was able to pull W.T. down out of that chair. And then he said, "Well, let's change places." A little child got up in the chair, and W.T. stood down on the floor. And W.T. says, "Okay, now pull me up into the chair." I think you know that was impossible for that child to pull him up into that chair with him. As hard as he tugged and pulled, he just couldn't do it. And the moral of that illustration is this: it's easier to pull someone down than it is to pull someone up. We need to have that safeguard in mind as we ask ourselves, who is influencing whom? I'm associating with these people. My intentions are to bring them to Christ. But if I keep asking myself and I find my morals being lowered and my relationship with God is suffering as a result, if I identify negative influences in my life, there's a couple of things I need to do. Number one, as I diffuse negative influences, I need to limit exposure. I need to limit exposure to those negative influences. Sometimes we must avoid them altogether. Here's a scriptural principle in Romans 16, verse 17. Paul says, "I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Avoid them altogether. Sometimes it may be at work or at school or in some other setting. We're not able to avoid negative influences all the time, but it's then we need to set some parameters. We can choose whether or not to spend all of our time with this person. And sometimes we must flee when the temptation to sin by someone's bad influence is so strong. We need to do what Joseph did, as Potiphar's wife is trying to tempt him. He got him out. He fled. We need to flee those temptations. So limit exposure. But number two is seek good influences. The antithesis of this passage about do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good character. The antithesis of it is also true, that good company will help build good character. So we need to build on our relationship with God by studying in His Word, allowing His Word to transform our thinking, to be able to withstand the lies and the seductions, the deceptions around us. And we need to stay in prayer with God, in communication with Him. Remember, Jesus told His disciples, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." We need to build those relationships with good, strong Christians. That's what the church is all about. I think about the Apostle Peter. He was so strong once he was with Christ and his fellow apostles. So strong. Even when Jesus told him that he would deny him, and Peter vows, and I believe he was convicted in what he said, "I will, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And he's strong when he's with Christ. But when he was warming himself by the fire of Jesus' enemies, he was weak. And he denied Christ 3 times, just as Jesus told him to. Folks, we need to build those good relationships with Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, because God knew we need that association in order to keep strong, to draw strength from one another, as Bob prayed, to encourage each other to withstand the temptations of sin. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived into thinking that's just something my parents always told me, that one bad apple can spoil the whole barrel full. Don't be deceived into thinking that's just old, outdated counsel, that bad company corrupts good character. It happens. But if we'll remain vigilant, if we're honest about our weaknesses, if we'll seek out the protective, positive resources that God has given us, we don't have to be drawn into the destructive power of sin. Primarily because of that strong association that God wants to have with us. He didn't want us to be destroyed by sin, so He sent Jesus to our rescue. And He's teaching through His Word, if we'll follow Jesus, if we'll accept that gift of salvation on His terms and seek to follow Him the rest of our days. And keep that relationship. Do our part in keeping faithful, being faithful to Him. That He'll give us the strength to overcome. And He's given us so many resources. And perhaps this morning, there are some who need to respond, to take hold of that extended hand of fellowship and salvation from God. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, or if you need the prayers of the church, if you've been influenced negatively and need to make some changes, and if those are of a public nature, we invite you to let that be known. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing?